why music with lyrics might be another clue.
Yeah, that's a good. I think
it's, you know, great. And not only do I think it's great, as we were saying before, that the time we spoke at the other room, I think that what is really distinguishing about your stuff is that it's really genuinely listenable from a wide number of departure points. I think it's listenable from somebody who's a musical gearhead. And by that, I don't mean the equipment, but I mean, you know, really rigorous, somebody who's, you know, very focused on the history of music and can recognize that there are a lot of different influences that you're drawing from and really sort of synthesizing into something really interesting and unique. It can also be enjoyed by an 8-year-old kid who just likes scatological humor. And I think that's a tremendous achievement, being able to truly, genuinely create something that is neutral and engaging across that wide a spectrum. And I think your music is.
I appreciate it.
And I think it's interesting to sort of, you know, contemplate, you know, how it gets that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good. I don't remember what the first lyric was. I think that the reality is that it comes from an early experience. When I was in college, I had a group of friends that I'm still friends with, and we played music together, and we had a band, and we would basically do cover songs and with rewritten lyrics, and we would write goofy lyrics about each other, and, you know, we were music school students, so we'd come up with all sorts of crazy lyrical ideas and musical ideas, and so I got really into writing lyrics and writing music. It was part of the inspiration, part of when I learned that I liked writing music and having people play it and playing it together, and I definitely enjoyed writing lyrics. And I think that when I finished college and I was on my own, I was really, in a way, wanted to relive that experience, because I realized, oh, I like writing goofy lyrics, and I think I did it reasonably well when I was in college. I thought, oh, I could include that in some of the music I'm writing now. In many ways, I think lyrics also add a certain feeling of structure and an accessibility. And it's not that I had felt like I had much to say, like, about anything, but I did like the goofy stuff. And I've always, you know, always been inspired by funny stuff, so I thought, And some of the earlier lyrics probably were, like, stuff on I Accept Your Condemnation. I don't remember what was some of the earlier lyrics, but some of those are really goofy.
Yeah, no.
And really, also just very much based on the rhythms and rhythmically placed, because the music was already written, so it was just like, well, the idea that matches this rhythm.
Yeah, I was just taking notes on some of the lyrics. There's a song called, I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but it's spelled phonetically Gigi.
Oh, yeah.
You refer to a fully carpeted planet and time increments of Zopa, which is 2.5 seconds, and Zopu, which is 70 years. And those are the only two time increments.
Yeah.
I kind of perceive it as being almost at the opposite end. Not that it's a vertical, it's a horizontal spectrum of where you're coming from would be somebody like Neil Young. But Neil Young had a quote that I always thought that was really interesting, that and his lyrics obviously are very different in their departure point. He always said that the point of it was just to try to, like, stimulate people to think for themselves or think their own thoughts. And it's kind of interesting because although you are at a completely different departure point, there's so many bizarre images and oddly juxtaposed concepts in what you're writing that it winds up having a sort of a similar effect.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, and I'm not an expert on Neil Young's lyrics or anything, but I think that anybody who writes lyrics that have real meaning or are trying to express something that's clear in any way is the opposite of anything that I would do. Because, like, that one is a good example of a song that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about in that song, because it's about a homosexual relationship between a man and an alien or something. And the whole idea is that it gets into the minutiae of time increments. I mean, who, who cares? What the hell is he talking about in this song? So I think that's a good example, I think, of lyrical formula for me, which is that it's a song that seems to have a whole bunch of touches on issues or meanings or something, but when you look at it as a whole, it's like,
what the hell is it
talking about? It doesn't mean anything. It's just... And it's maybe... it's not sarcastic, and it's not a parody of anything. It's just... It's really just a whole bunch of nothing. Like, that one, I think, is a good example, because it's just the fact that you say... I think the first lyric is, I'm in love with a man. I'm a man, I'm in love with a man.
Are you telling me that you don't know the way to a carpeted planet? I'm wasting my time here with you.
There's something in there about the fully carpeted...
I thought you had the answer, dude. I thought we were going to the carpeted planet tonight.
Isn't there a line in there, like, about how pants, underwear are worn?
Yes, are washed from the outside so that they don't get stained.
Something like that, which doesn't even make sense. It's just...
Do you...
it's from Woody Allen.
No, that's right. Bananas.
Yeah, bananas is underwear.
Underwear will be worn on the outside.
So we can check.
All girls under 16 are now over 16.
Right.
Great scene. No stab ever, or at least to date, at the mystery of life for grand world meaning or anything of that. It's just rhythmic devices that sound good.
Not exactly. I mean, I think that the closest I've come to expressing anything real would be lust. And, and that's pretty carefully, not carefully hidden, but, you know, there are definitely personal, very personal things that are probably concealed a little bit by humor, but I think... When I listen to them, I mean, they're like slap in the face, like, oh my god, I'm so exposing myself so openly.
Hidden is an interesting it's your word. And do you think that you're on the face of it, one can certainly accept these are, you created this music, there are these rhythmic inventions in the music, and you find words that fit those rhythmic inventions, and they're devoid of any plot. Certainly premeditated, really, but do you think anything more comes through, or, if a guy spends a lot of time putting care and attention into words, it seems a little disingenuous to say they're total nonsense, because, you're putting some effort.
No, that's not what I mean. I think I don't mean that they're nonsense, like they're... Like they have no value or are no meaning at all, but I think that it's the game and the pleasure to me in the writing of them and the humor, like in the case of that song, Jiggy, is that it really doesn't mean anything. It's not exploring anything interesting about relationships between a man and a robot or a space alien or whatever. It's not really presenting anything. It's just humor.
What about Angel, which I've indicated to you, I think is a pretty funny song, and I think it at times spoofs the notion of divine inspiration.
Yeah. Well, that one is a pretty clear, just a joke in that it's like Joan of Arc hearing the words of an angel or whatever. I won't say the other guy who heard the angel talking, but...
I believe that would be our presence.
And then the angel talks and he's just like he's like an asshole from a bar. fuck you. And he doesn't really reveal anything. And she gets killed because...
It's funny.
So that one has a certain meaning, I guess.
Yeah, but if you collide enough images with weight, you're going to inadvertently produce images, while absurd and delightfully so, are equally weighty. It's good stuff, I gotta tell you. It's a 4 stars. It's got a beat I can dance to. 85. So you're working on stuff that you did in 2003. Tell me about that stuff from 2003.
Well,
do you see yourself trying to promote any of the stuff that you've done?
I would like to. I just don't really know how. You know, I would like.
I mean, apart from this interview, which of course, reached the hearts and minds of millions. So.
Yeah, of course. This time around, I think it would be nice to try to find and make equal effort or almost equal effort to promoting it and getting people to hear it as I did on creating it.
There is a
beautiful woman.
Fembot directly across the street from us as we speak, being photographed.
It's like the exact opposite of what's happening here. Beautiful women photographed.
Balding men talking. You were getting tired of just having music that was living on computers and being heard by only a few friends.
Yeah, and I think that there was kind of a feeling of, well, what's the point of doing it? Maybe I'm tired of just doing it and
did
having
you come
it.
Back to it because you discovered a point that you wanted to?
I think I came back to it because I realized that I can't. I'm not going to really live a very good life for the rest of my life if I don't do something with music.
Okay.
So that's why I had to come back.
What was this music tour like?
It was hard.
Let's cross.
Worthwhile? Waste of time? Somewhere in between?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. I think it depends on your character. I mean, so much of it is like, study is very important. It's also meeting people and learning about yourself and how you interact with other musicians and developing a voice and kind of setting up your future career as a musician, which is all stuff I didn't do at all. And so, in that sense, I think it wasn't worth it. But I think it's more.
Have you stayed in touch with any people from that period?
I've stayed in touch with the people that I was friends with, the people that I mentioned before that we used to have this band Sherlock Bing that we used to record. We actually have a MySpace. Page of that old stuff, which is pretty funny.
What's the name of the band?
Sherlock Bing.
Sherlock Bing.
Yeah.
And how large was the band, trio?
I mean, at any point in time, it was up to like 7 or 8 people. We always had different. It was like, it was a dorm-based band, so anyone in the dorm could play. So it was a music school, so it could be like a trumpet, saxophone, bass guitar, and banjo one night. The next night, it's drums.
So are you in touch with those people?
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to Germany in August to visit one of them and hopefully play some music together. So, one of the guys lives in Germany.
So, you told me the errand of the hour.
Cool.
Yeah. The process now is to get reacquainted with studying music and making music and finding some way of sharing it with other people rather than just keeping it for myself.
Skywriters. Go to.
Yeah. Yeah, Skywriters.
Yeah.
Could become a pimp and use the.
You bitch listen to my music or.
Yeah. Use the prostitutes while after servicing people they can.
Never return a phone call.
That's right. You become a pimp and you don't actually take any of their wages.
Yeah.
You just make them give away CDs.
Yeah, and play the music while they do their stuff. I think that would be really good.
Pardon the phraseology. Target audience in mind.
I don't know. I really have no idea. I mean, my guess is that it would be musically minded people. I think it's a pretty small audience.
Really?
It's a pretty small target.
Well, your target may be pretty small.
Again, I think your audience, your music could. That's I think your music could. I think you could. I think you could market it to children if you wanted to. I also think you can market it to people in music schools, college students. I think it's got a very wide. That's sort of what I guess I find intriguing about it. It's sort of, like I said, I think it's actually susceptible to. Being received by a very, very broad number of people.
Well, I think there are a lot of things about it that I think right off the bat will turn off large segments of the population.
Really?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are not interested in.
There are individual songs that are bound to turn off particular individuals.
That's true.
But I think that the same way that, Dennis Leary or Robin Williams or George Carlin can put out an album which will contain one bit or routine that will deeply offend someone.
Mm-hmm.
That same person will nevertheless wind up making an exception for that comedian because the cumulative effect of the entire work is one that they receive favorably. And it becomes clear over the course of the whole recording that you can't take anything and you can be serious.
Yeah, there's worse stuff out there.
Yeah, I don't read it that way at all. I mean,
I don't even think of the offensive nature, like the subject matter as being offensive. I just think a lot of people are... immediately turned off by comedy, humor, and music.
Yeah, no one likes to laugh.
No, you know what I mean.
No, I
how
have
often,
no idea.
How
what
often do you have. No, humor, music, and humor is not always such a popular combination. You think about
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree. I mean, in fact, one of the reasons that
I
think it makes sense to do the interview, and one of the things that I find intriguing about your music is that I think your music is very wide range.
Well, I mean, I think my thinking is that I'm relating it to other musics that have a similar kind of feel.
Yeah.
And I think of like who has
Ween. Ween is. Are you familiar with Ween?
Actually, I'm not.
Yeah, you might want to check them out. They're very, very popular. They do a lot of humor. Music.
Oh, they do? I'm thinking of Frank Zappa. I mean, he's very popular, but he's very
Zappa's
limited target.
He is a limited target, but I think that Zappa Zappa was an elitist. I think that's a fair statement. And
yeah.
I think that comes through in his music, and I think that's what turns people off. I think you're right. Some people are turned off by Zappa. I think he's an elitist. And, you know, some of my best friends are elitists. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, I think that's the thing that turns people off. I don't think that that's necessarily relevant.
I guess that's where I'm looking is like, that there is, I'm wondering, and
I don't know.
No, I don't really want to.
There are leanings of that in your music. If you wanted to go to the Zappa fans, you definitely can appeal to them.
I think that it would. I mean, I'm not saying, because he's a great genius, but the thing is that I think that the humor mix and the whatever music-iness of it, that's a Zappa trademark, basically.
Zappa
and,
what? trademarks.
Yeah.
I thought you said Zappa gay bar.
Well, the Zappa gay bar is...
That's
something that would be very interesting.
And then go out.
So I guess the thing is that the other element, which I think makes it difficult, is that, and I can't say I know, is whether it's cold and emotionally turns people off. Because it's not warm and fuzzy. It's not very few expressions of love or real any kind of humanness, except for when there is, I feel like I'm talking about
it's pretty
depressing stuff, I think.
I'm happy to say I disagree. I recognize that there's not any sort of abuse. I don't know why she's laughing at you.
I do.
But
I know why every woman laughs at me. That's
go.
My gift.
Well, that puts you well ahead of those of us who have no idea why they're laughing at us.
Hey.
That's my curse.
I know why, and I accept it. I think they're perfectly right.
You accept their condemnation.
Yeah, they're perfectly right for laughing at me. There's also violence. There's a lot of violence. And pretty graphic.
And you know, it's true that particularly in a society such as ours, where violence is so alien to popular culture.
Well, you know, I guess I'm not trying to justify why it wouldn't be popular. I'm not really looking for reasons. I'm just kind of speculating.
Yeah, no, I'm just, hopefully somewhat reaffirming or encouraging way, trying to knock some of it down.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, I think that you know, I'm not sure how one would reach an audience, but I really think that your music is, as I said, susceptible to more interpretations. I think that your music is susceptible to more interpretations than that of just about anybody else I know, you know, which I think is a potentiality. It's not better or worse, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a potentiality, and if your interest is in trying to get an audience, it's a good potentiality to have. You know, I think that the Neil Young spectrum, to go back to that spectrum of the curve, and my music and the music of a lot of other people I know, who for whatever reason are trying to do something that's sort of more confessional or hard on sleeve, I think that stuff winds up having a very narrow niche audience.
Yeah.
And I think that in that situation, the goal or the hope is that you'll strike a chord with somebody of a like mind, and then you might wind up maybe getting a 14-year-old who's going to go around brooding.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's by necessity, you know, not casting a wide net. You know what I mean? And I think that your stuff is winds up casting the widest net, one of the wider nets that
I wonder.
So I think there's something. I think there's something there. And I think if you choose to push yourself to it, it would be interesting to see where it winds up.
I just don't know how. Yeah, would be. It would be fun.
I think that maybe if you could find a way to work with somebody who does visual reinforcements, you know, video work or video games or flash sites or something like that. You know, if somebody were to build a flash site that was synchronized to or interactive with your music, or if you were to build a site
that's a really good
like
idea.
That, you know, you could have a carpeted planet on the screen, or bizarre animations. But, I think that the point is that when you were saying you think that your music is going to turn people off, all the things that you're citing, I understand why you might bring them up, but I think they're small potatoes in terms of what might turn somebody off compared to either attempts to be naked emotionally, which a lot of people go into, which is just verboten for many, you know. I don't think it's, and I think probably for you to some extent, because it's not an angle you're pursuing, but more so. The worst still is when somebody is just trying to emulate emotional music because that's what the chicks do.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing winds up becoming maudlin. So I think that there's a lot of stuff that becomes a lot... The fact that you're not really trying to say anything or interface too directly with the listener, you know, makes the music immediately more... acceptable and sociable than a lot of stuff. And it might be another way of looking at it, if that makes sense.
Could be. And I think that the thing is that there is a lot of confessional stuff in there.
Yeah.
But it's not presented I want you to feel
personal.
For me. There's a lot of sexual stuff, which is very real. And there's a lot, you know, that kind of stuff is pretty...
There's the thing I want to say. There's a mania. It's manic. And I think that that's great. And I some of the stuff that I like most about Peter Gabriel was when there was just sort of, you could just sort of sense this innate mania.
Yeah, in the early days, yeah.
Yeah, the stuff like I Have the Touch, mm-hmm. You know. So there's that mania, but it's mania without...
Well, I think the idea is that...
a lot of the heavy-handedness.
Yeah, I don't think there's any point where I'm trying to say...
mania with a light touch.
Like, feel for me, or I'm trying to connect to you, and you should be... There's nothing like that. So that's where I think you can have a hard time, because if you're trying to get people to feel for something, and they're not going to feel for it, it's a big disaster.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm not trying to do that. If they feel it, because I think there's a lot to relate to.
I'm not, you know, look, you know, in the context of any one sentence, you're going to be hemmed in to a certain extent to make an idea coherent. And so, yeah, I mean, I prefer to things like formula and so forth. But no, I mean, I'm very aware of the fact that there's this dimension to your music. Don't mean to suggest otherwise. I think that it's kind of cool that we went and had this extra bit of conversation because I think that, you know, you've just articulated for yourself what I was trying to get across, which is that, you know, the fact that you're not doing that means it won't alienate listeners, and almost all other music does. You know, even on some levels, even, you know, Nat King Cole, you know, tries to insinuate itself on a sentimental register.
Yeah.
And,
well, I know that like with anything, for me at least, and I mean that's why I write music lyrics in that way, is that when I feel someone trying to tug at my emotions and they fail, it's the worst failure.
Yeah.
Like, and it happens in movies, it happens in books, whatever. That kind of failure is really bad. So in a way you can sidestep it by not presenting it directly, not trying to invite them in, but like present it abstractly and with a touch of humor. Then they have the option to laugh at it, laugh at you, or feel what you're talking about and relate to it. So in a way, it's just like the most entertainment bang for the buck, I guess.
Exactly. It's
in
most
a way.
Entertainment bang for the buck, and you give the listener. It's like having those. It's like having those packets of ice cream with vanilla chocolate and strawberry. You can react to this on multiple levels.
Yeah, I think there's a good example. I think probably the best example is a song called "Pants On" from Person with the Ideas, because that song, so "Pants On" is. You know, in some ways you can listen to it as a goofy rock song with me kind of shouting, and it sounds kind of funny. But on the other hand, it's a pretty honest expression of discomfort with parties and women and socializing things. So that one is a good example of where you can relate to it in many different ways.
It's accessible. You can get as much out of it as you put into it.
Yeah.